And so I just feel God moving in our midst. There is a need today for us to catch His vision for this year of our lives. And my prayer as the pastor of this church, my prayer as the husband of my wife and as the father to my children, is that I see God clearer and I make God clearer to see. And so I'm hoping and praying that we will, as a church, catch this anthem until all can see. We will do. We will act on God's word. We will do what it takes to get the gospel out. In 2 months, we will be sending a team to the Philippines. By the way, if you're planning on going, thinking about going, praying about going, there's a meeting at 5 o'clock today that's mandatory for you to be at. But understand that there is a need to take it overseas, but there's also a need to take it next door. And there's a need to take it to the store. There's a need to take it to work. And so we are going to spend the next few weeks, God willing, developing this. How do we see God clearer? And how do we make God clearer to see? I will say this. The one thing standing in the way of people that are lost seeing Jesus is people who claim to be saved. The one thing that is getting in the way of people being able to experience the freedom of Christ is those who have already claimed to be in the freedom of Christ. It's the believers. It's those that say they know God, but that don't fully know God or fully trust God that are getting in the way of those that do not know God. And we need to get out of the way so that God can be seen. And so as I've been studying, I've been drawn to John chapter number 1, and God has really been pouring out of this passage. And if you know anything about John 1, it's quoted often, it's talked about often, but it really sets the tone for how we can help others see God. And so as we're going into our 2020, till all can see, as we're casting this vision, then let's go back and let's start on what this vision should be built on. All right, so grab it with me if you would, and let's read together. Chapter number 1, verse number 1, it says this. In the beginning, the Word already existed. King James says, in the beginning was the Word. All right? The Word was with God, and the Word what? All right, so every religion that says you have to earn your godhood is debunked by that one statement right there. All right? You cannot earn your righteousness. Are you with me? You cannot earn your salvation. Your salvation has been based and built on the one who has always been righteous and always been worthy to be the Lord of our lives. In the beginning, there was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. And you want your life to start anew. You want this year to be something different. Then may it say, in the beginning of 2020, there was Jesus. He was in my life. He was the truth of my life. He's what I built my life on. And if we're going to make God clearer to see, then He's got to be seen clearly by us. He's got to be focused in our minds and focused in our actions and focused in what we do. We've got to make Him the priority of our lives. And you know what I have found? And John 3 really confirms this, that people don't like to talk about Jesus, especially believers. The Bible says, verse number 18, it says, people don't like the light. We'll deal with this later, but it says, they don't want to come to light because their deeds are evil. And they like the darkness because it's not easy to see what's going on. You know what I found about the gospel that's being preached across the world is that gospel has been made by man in our modern time instead of made by Jesus. And the gospel says it's okay to do certain things and it's not okay to do others according to Jesus. But according to man, we're going to stay away from certain topics because we don't want to run off our crowd. And what I'm finding is we have bigger crowds that are in our churches today probably than we'll have in heaven when we stand there. The congregations of our church won't be as powerful as the congregation that stands in heaven, but it'll be a whole lot fewer because we are watering down the gospel. And the gospel is this. You and I cannot live any way that we want to live and claim Jesus as Lord of our lives. We can't do that. It's got to start with God. I mean, if you go to Genesis 1, in the beginning, what happened? God. God created the heavens and the earth. You want a new life, then let God recreate your life. You want something powerful to happen in your life, then let God have control. Keep reading with me if you would. Verse number 2, it says, He existed in the beginning with God. So I broke it down. Today, if we're going to make him clear, are we going to be able to see him clear? How do we do that? And so today we're going to talk about the Word. I mean, it's got to be the Word of God. It's got to be what the Word represents. And so in this passage, if you read it correctly, if you read it seeking the truth behind it, it tells us that what the Word will do for our lives. And so if you would, pick up with verse number 3 and we'll see it. It says, number 1, God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. You know what the Word of God will do in my life? You know what the Word of God will do in your life? It will create and bring into existence things that never existed before. Now, how many of you, before you accepted Christ, had a different lifestyle, a different mindset, a different desire than you have now? Anybody like that? Anybody willing to admit that you had no desire? I had no desire for God when I was living for myself. I had no desire for God before my salvation. You know what happened? The Word of God became known in my life, and it created in my life a whole new way to live. A whole new way to hope. A whole new way to believe. It brought things into my life that did not exist before. And to you who are brokenhearted today, to you who are lonely, to you who are depressed, the Word will create in you a new spirit, a new mindset, a new way of living, and hope will come where darkness used to be. Hey, healing will come where brokenness used to rule. Freedom will come where bonds and chains used to hold you back. Today, God, that Word, the Word of God is still creating new things. Now you say, well, I don't believe it. Look around this room. You are surrounded by a lot of people that on their own you would not want to be around, but because of Jesus Christ, man, they're fun to hang out with. They're fun to worship with. Why? Because the Word creates. Hey, you say, well, it's talking about Jesus. Can I break this down for you? The entire Bible has one theme. All right? Anybody want to take a guess at what that theme is? Jesus, the love of God being made known to you. From Adam and Eve in the garden all the way to where it says, hey, he will rule and reign forever. Amen. This is it. It is done. We have got to get to this thing that the Word is Jesus and what Jesus has accomplished for our lives. If you and I would truly believe in the power of God, there would not be an obstacle too big for us in 2020. There would not be a fear too great for us in 2020. There would not be a sin so appetizing for us in 2020. Why? Because when you see the Word clearly, it creates a new mind. God changes us into new creatures by changing the way we think. And so number 2, not only does it say that it created, look at verse number 4. It says, the Word gave life to everything. I mean, think about this. Even in creation, nothing could truly live without Jesus. I mean, think of, isn't that a beautiful thought? That when God was creating the animals and God was creating man, the life that he breathed into man was Jesus Christ. Without Jesus, everything was dead. There was no hope. And the Bible says the Word gave life to everything. And you know what? It's still true today. Absent of Jesus, you're not truly living. Absent of God's grace, absent of God's power, you're not truly living. And God wants to give life. In other words, it's like this, where there are things with no purpose in your life, God wants to give value and God wants to give purpose. Where there was no ability, they became able. Hey, and when there was no power, they became powerful. And today, God is still wanting to give us life through his Word. And so look at this, if you would. Check out John chapter number 1, verses 12 and 13. It says this, read with me if you would. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave what? Right to become the children of God. Look at verse number 13. They are reborn, I love that, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or a plan, but a birth that comes from God. Listen, there is a life you can live absent of God that will take you to a limit of joy. But there is a limitless joy you can have living the life that God and only God can create in you. You say, how do we learn of that? The Word. The Bible says this Word is foolishness to those who don't believe. This Word means nothing to those that don't have the Spirit of God, that we know Him by His Spirit, and we need people today that understand that if you don't have things in your life, there are creative opportunities that God will put in your path through His Word. If you don't have the joy of life, there's a good chance you're absent the Word of God in your life, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And we have got to realize that if we're going to see God clearer, we're not going to be able to do it without the Word. I have found this. When the Word is applied to my life goes better. Not easier, better. Anybody else say me too? When I am absent the Word of God in my life, I am an idiot. I am foolish. I say and do stupid things. Anybody else say me too? All right. If not, I'll ask your spouses and they'll tell the truth. All right. The reality is we, absent God's Word, can mess things up. The Bible says you can ruin everything by simply opening your mouth, but you will never ruin anything by opening the Word of God. And you'll never ruin anybody by using the Word of God. Isn't it amazing that there's a book that can tell you what's wrong in the world, and yet even while reading what is wrong, it brings life into you. It doesn't destroy, it quickens, it raises, it establishes, it supports, it strengthens. And today, if we are going to carry the gospel of Christ out, we have to put the gospel of Christ in. We have to know the truth of what God's Word is. It creates and it gives life. But look at the next thing it does. It says this, and his life brought what? Light. Light to everyone. You know, listen to me. The Word of God will create for you. The Word of God will give you life. But the Word of God will also give light to show you direction, to show you the will of God, to show you what's good, what's right. It will lead you and it will guide you. It will illuminate the attacks of the enemy. It will illuminate the paths that need to be taken. His Word you hide in your heart, and it keeps you from sin because it makes sin obvious. You know, we need to get back into the day of the church to where sin is obvious because we know what God has to say about it. But ignorance is no excuse for living a lifestyle that you want to live. Right now, if I started naming a thing of what God was against, a lot of people would leave the church. If we started reading the Scriptures about sex and about your money and about sexuality, many people would leave the church because they don't want to buy into the mindset that what God does is true. And so when we bring up certain words, we get labeled bigot, and you get labeled different things, or holy roller, or fanatic, or you get pushed out. We're scared to talk about certain topics because we're scared we will lose the people in our life. And what I have found is that we are surrounded by people that are lost because we're not willing to bring them to the light. And I'm going to tell you this, church, listen to me. Yes, our method has to be love, but we have to understand this. The reason the world is falling apart is because we're scared to bring the light into it. The reason we see this, and I'm just going to say this, for every person that's saying, well, I don't like that kind of topic, then tell me, is the world's way working? Are we seeing peace? No. Are we seeing hope? No. We claim that love wins in our society, only to have the generation that claims love win hate those that don't agree with the way they live. We claim that we want to help everybody, but we get very discriminative as who deserves the help. We claim that we want to see the world come to Jesus until our ex walks in the door. Am I right? You say, well, I don't like this. Good. You shouldn't. Because here's what's good. God comes in and says, hey, this is wrong. It shouldn't happen. Jesus goes to church. They're selling cattle to make sacrifices. You say, well, what's the big deal? The raising of the cattle is what was important. And so when you went and you bought somebody else's sacrifice, it was you being lazy in your faith and you not following through. And man, isn't that the way we worship today? We want somebody else to do the work so that we can come celebrate the results of their work. And the reality is God wants us to do the work in our lives that needs to be done so that God can be glorified. So Jesus goes in and says, we ain't going to be changing money here and exchanging foreign currency. We're not going to buy our way. No, we're going to have a faith. And so he walks in and he starts shedding light on, hey, it's got to be a relationship. It cannot be a religion. And just because you bought a sacrifice doesn't mean your sins are covered. That's what he was stating. That's what he was putting out. He's saying, hey, you must accept God blood sacrifice so that your life can be restored. And it's not something this religion can give you. It's something that a relationship with God and only a relationship with God can give. And I'm going to tell you now, church, there is so much joy the world has to offer. There's so many opinions the world has to offer, but it cannot give you the relationship that God has to offer. And you and I cannot be bought into these mindsets of, let's go to where messages make us feel good all the time. And no, let's go to where messages make us be good. Let's go to where the Word of God is what's true and what's reigning. Let's go to the church where Jesus is actually the head of the church and the people of the church are willing to fall on their faces before Him, worship Him, adore Him, and serve Him with our lives. Let's make the Word the anthem of our lives, and we would stop advertising ourselves. We would stop making ourselves valueless to try to make someone be attracted to us in the world, but instead let God establish our value through the life-giving, through the creative power, and through the light-giving that Jesus has brought into our lives. And if you and I want confidence today, then we must see ourselves through the Word of God and see ourselves through what Christ died for and who Christ is, not through the eyes of the world, not through the truths of the world, but through the truth of God that will last forever. Forever His Word is established. And let me just tell you this, if His Word was in the beginning and His Word is in the end, then stop believing every other word that's being created in the in between. Stop building our lives on everything else, but build everything on Him so that everything is in the light. I know that around this church at night, there's lights that shine all night. Around the parking lot, why do we do that? Well, safety reasons is our main objective, but we are advised, and insurance loves us to have light that shines on our doors and all the other things. Why? Because it's less likely for somebody to break in when the light is on. And I'm going to tell you this right now. If the light of Jesus is shining in your life, then the devil is less likely to break up your life and to break up your relationships. And if we had the light shining in our marriages, we had the light shining in our home, we had the light shining in our church, the enemy may show up, but he's not going to be as bold to try to break into what God has established. Why? Because the light exposes the darkness. And I love what the Bible says. And the darkness cannot extinguish it. It cannot take it out. Look, that's in verse number 5. It says the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness, I like how the King James says, can't even comprehend it. In other words, what am I going to do about this? I mean, the enemy has been asking that question since day one. What am I going to do about Jesus? And you know what? They can't comprehend the fact that they can't put the light out. You say, how do I change? Get the light in. And let me tell you this. That light is not solar powered. That light is not will powered. That light is Jesus powered. And a Jesus powered light will never run out. That's why there's no dark in heaven. Because in there, He is the light and there is no night. And I'm thankful for that. I can get excited. Look at John 6 verse 63. The Spirit alone gives what? Eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. Would you please circle that? This is talking about your faith. Human effort accomplishes nothing. And I love how Jesus says this, and the very words that I have spoken to you are both spirit and life. Circle word is spirit. It's spiritual. The Word of God is quick, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of God is inspired, every word dictated by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The Word is Spirit. You say, I want the power of God in my life, and you better have the Spirit of God in your life, and the Word of God is that Spirit. And it says, it's not only that, it's life. You want to live in 2020? Live through the Word of God. You want to lead others to life in 2020? Lead through the Word of God. So that's what the Word of God will do. Let's look at what the Word of God, the effects it has on us. Go, if you would, to verse number 14 of this same chapter. We're going to find four effects that the Word of God has on us just in a couple verses here. It says, so the Word became human and made His home among us. You know, when the Word of God becomes a part of our lives, we are willing to do whatever it takes to reach those who are lost. That's what it says. Jesus did whatever it took to reach us. All right, you got the Word of God. How, test yourself. How do I know if God's Word is in control of my life? You're willing to do whatever it takes to lead somebody to the Lord. You're willing to do whatever it takes to make sure that somebody could know. God help us that we will go broke in his house faster than we go broke in Walmart. God help us that we're willing to serve more in his work than we are willing to serve the world. God help us that we are willing to give and to do whatever it takes to make sure that someone knows that this world is not all they have, that there is a kingdom beyond that's out of this world. There is an eternity of existence with God that they need to know exists so that they can live not for what is around them, but for what is within them, and know that one day they will live around people for eternity that lived by faith and not by sight. And there we will glorify and worship God forever. May it be our desire that we will do as a church whatever it takes. Whatever it takes to make God known. If that means be uncomfortable, we're going to be uncomfortable. If that means that we got to do the things that are not normally our personality, we're going to do them. If we got to go to the places that are not desirable to go, we're going to show up. If we got to give of ourselves so that we can't be in the comforts of what we like to be in, then may we give, may we sell, may we give away anything that keeps somebody from knowing God. May we not work our lives away so that we can have material possession, but may we serve our lives away so that we can have eternal hope and eternal glory and eternal treasures, and others can have them too. May it be said of us that the word of God had such effect on us that we dropped the boundaries of how far or what limits we were willing to go to make sure his love was known. Number two, keep reading. It says he dwelt among us and he was full of, number two, unfailing love. Man, I love that. Number two, it makes us love people no matter where they are, no matter who they are, no matter what they are, no matter what they've done. If we have the word in us, we love all people. All right? All meaning even people that have hurt us. All means even Judas. I told some pastors just the other day, the statement was made that they were going to push somebody out. And I said, you have no right and no heart of God if you want to push somebody out. And they said, well, it's their fear of being pushed out that's going to get them pushed out. And I said, even Jesus kept Judas involved in his ministry for 3.5 years, knowing that this man was going to be the reason he hung on the cross, because he would betray him. Yet he let him be a part of the miracles. He let him be a part of the teachings. He let him be a part of the ministry. And God help us, we do not have the mindset of Christ if there is one person that we have deemed unworthy to hear the gospel of Christ. And we have got to love no matter what. We got to love no matter who. We got to love no matter where. We got to love no matter what it takes. And he says, hey, he had unfailing love. Now, let's take everybody else out of mind. Whew, there's been a lot of times in my life that I'm unlovable. Anybody else in here too? Oh, but that unfailing love has showed up every single time. I mean, if there is a modern day Judas, I have been him. And maybe some of you have been too. If there's been a rejecter of his truth, I have been that. If there has been someone that lived in a life that opposed to the word of God, I have been that. Yet his unfailing love has captured my heart and captured my mind, captured my existence. And today, I and you are everything we are because God loves everyone. For God so loved the world, the dirty in the world, the forgotten in the world, the broken in the world that nobody else knows exists. God loves the person in the village wearing nothing more than a loincloth running around, or those that don't even have clothes running naked, just as much as he loves those of us sitting in here in name brands today. God loves everybody. And if we have the word of God in us, we love them too. You say, well, I do. I love everybody. I'm going to tell you this now. If there's somebody in your life that's been in a relationship with you, whether a friend, a coworker, a family member, aunt, uncle, you fill in the blank. If there's somebody in your life that you have some type of relationship with, even if it's an acquaintance relationship, you cannot claim to love them if you've never shared Jesus with them. And you say, well, that's harsh. It hits me. How can I say I love someone if I'm withholding from someone everything they need? How can I say I love someone if I am too scared to tell them this life isn't all you get? There's a world outside of it. There's an eternity beyond it. True love does whatever it takes, but true love does not withhold the truth. Yeah, the Bible says that honesty is a kiss to friendship. You find that in Proverbs. You know, when somebody will come up to you and say, hey, you're not living right, you got this wrong in your life, they love you. Now, they some people may come up and be a jerk about it. It's all in the context of how they're saying it. Don't get me wrong. There are people that like to point out your flaws. An encourager will take your flaws, present your flaws, but they will not beat you with the flaw. They will present truth and hope with it as well. Are you with me? Someone that'll come up and say you're not right is not against you, they're for you. But we live in a world that if anybody disagrees with us, you hate me. I'm going to tell you this now. We need to be people that love people enough to know that love will stand in the way of someone destroying their life. Love cares more about their eternal soul than their physical presence. And I would rather send you away from me with malice in your heart towards me, but having been planted in your heart the truth of the gospel that God loves you, rather than to keep you with me and never tell you about the love of God that will seal you for eternity. Let's get back to this, church. Unfailing love is not hidden. It is known. I mean, there are people that we can bring up their names, famous people, and you'll say, oh, he's such a good husband. Why? Because he's not scared to make his love known. She's not scared to make her love known. Unfailing love is not shy, and unfailing love does not hide. If you don't believe it, watch your teenagers find their first love. Am I right? In youth group, we'll look at them. Hey, leave room for the Holy Spirit. You know, they want to be hands-on. They want the world to know. They want a Facebook status. They want to tweet it. They want an Instagram to make it known that they are in love. We were talking with our teenagers just this past Monday. And I know some of them get mad about this, about Snapchat or whatever it is. And I won't say what all we were talking about, because some of you are so in love with it that if I start talking about your God, you'll get mad. All right? And so I understand this. They were talking about their streaks, and if you don't know what that is, it's how long you communicate with somebody, how many consecutive days you've gotten on this thread or something like that. And they are obsessed with it. If you don't believe it, when we have a youth trip or a lock-in, we actually give them a chance to keep their streak going before we take up their phones. So they get on, they keep their streak going, we take up their phones. I literally had a girl almost panic one day because she didn't get to do her streak and we had already taken up the phone. I mean, it was distraught. And so we asked this question. How many of you have the YouVersion Bible app? And they raised their hand. And you know, and I was like, well, how many of you care about the streak on it that shows how many days consecutively you've got on and read the Word of God? If you're more concerned with your Snapchat streak than you are your in the Word of God streak, then we know what God you are serving. And the truth is this, we live in a generation that is absent of God's Word and truth in our lives. And we're full of everybody's opinion. I mean, we know what the Dr. Phil say. We know, you know, it wasn't his baby because that guy on TV said that the baby is not yours. We know. But when it comes to the Word of God, we have no idea. And you know what? That is why our world is absent of love. Because you cannot let the Word of God rule your life and not love people. Because every page of the Word of God screams one anthem. God loves you. God loves me. And in there, we got to understand that His Word brings an unfailing love. Now, keep reading. It says not only unfailing love, but it brings faithfulness, consistency. You got the Word of God in your life, you become consistent. You're living by the Word of God, you become consistent. You apply God's Word, you're consistent. If you don't have God's Word, you're double-minded, and a double-minded person is unstable in all their ways. You got unstable relationship, needs the Word of God. You got unstable mindsets, need the Word of God. You and I got to understand that it brings a platform, a stability into our lives. And if we want to be a church that loves people the way that Jesus does, then we have to be a church that's in love with the Word of God. And that love of God and that love of His Word will make us faithful in His service. We won't serve for ourselves, we will serve for others. In other words, we won't care who gets a solo. We won't care who gets a position. We won't care who gets a title that's made by the world. We won't care who gets a spotlight. We do not care who gets to preach or who gets to teach or who gets to do those things. All we care about is that the Word of God is made known. We're not in competition with other churches, but we're in a family bond, a kingdom mindset, and we're going to war against the enemy and his traps that he has set for the world, and we're making God's Word the anthem of our truth. And today, we need people that are faithful to the Word of God, not faithful to their churches. And we have more people that are faithful to church than they are to obedience to God. God help us as a church that we keep God in front of you. God help you as the church to keep God in you. Every single day that you keep His Word and guiding your lives. How many of you are with me so far?
Are you good?
All right, number four. Not only does it fill us with consistency, but it gives us the ability to make God visible. Look at what it says. Last part of verse 14. And we have seen his glory. The glory of the Father's one and only Son. When the Word is in me, God becomes seen. You getting it? Well, how do I make the world see God clearer? The Word has to be in you. Has to fill our minds and has to fill our mouths. Has to fill everything that we do. Has to be the leading anthem of what we are. And here's what you and I, number three, the last thing we're going to talk about, must do with the Word. Ready? Number one, we have to study it. 2 Timothy, we talk about this all the time. I love it. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy, verse number 2, or chapter 2, verse 15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing what? The word of truth. In other words, I'm going to study God's word so that I understand what it means. So I understand what it has to say. I mean, without the word of God, there would be not one person saved in this auditorium. Had the word of God not been presented to you by someone who understood the salvation offered through Jesus Christ, not one person would know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And let me say, if that can be said in a corporate setting, then understand this. In your private walk in this world, if the word has not been studied and put into you, then there's a good chance that no one that you come in contact with is going to understand the truth of who God is. And I don't want to be somebody that points you to me. You know why? The more I point you to me, the more of me you see. Are you with me? I don't desire fame. If God makes us known, God makes us known. But you know why I don't desire fame? Because the brighter the spotlight, the more visible the zit. Are you following? I would say that on the day I have one, like right there. The brighter the lights, the more high definition. I mean, the more the flaws are visible. Am I right? How many of you remember the days before high definition? Everything was blurry. All of a sudden, they bring it to high definition, and you look at certain people like, they didn't used to look like that. No, now you see for who they truly are. Light exposes things. You know, I want Jesus Christ to be the one that's made known in my life. I want him to be the one that's glorified in my life. I want him to be the one that's exalted. I want to make him famous because then the light's on him, and there is no flaw in him. There is no brokenness in him. If the light's on me, you're in trouble. I don't want to build my name in your mouth. I don't want to build my name in your minds. I don't want to build, oh, he's this and he's that. I want to build up the name of Jesus in your heart and Jesus in your mind, because there is no accusation that can be made about Jesus that would ever destroy anyone or ever break anyone's hope or ever break anyone's faith, because he is wonderful today. And the truth is this. If people's faith are built on who I am, they are in trouble. Yes, I am not good enough. And neither are you. So my truth, forget it. His truth must be what is in my mouth, in my life. Not only do I need to study it, I need to proclaim it. Paul, in the same chapter, and we're almost done, writing to Timothy, says this, just a couple chapters over, read it with me if you would, in chapter number 4, he says, preach the word of God. In other words, he says, be prepared. There's the studied. I cannot preach the word of God if I do not know the word of God. Anything I preach not knowing the word of God is dangerous. All right? Can I tell you this? You can't love others until you love yourself. Dangerous. That's not in the word of God. You can't forgive others until you forgive yourself. Dangerous. That's not in the word of God. That is in the mouth of people on this earth, and it sounds so good. But those both leave you in a total pursuit of yourself. And I'm going to tell you this now. No matter how much you try to love yourself, you're still going to see the problems. And no matter how much you try to forgive yourself, you're still going to make mistakes. And if you and I are in a pursuit of loving ourselves and forgiving ourselves, we'll never be in pursuit of the purpose of our lives, which is making God known to other people. And as a result, we will spend our entire lives never happy, never content, and never powerful, because we have bought into these lies that sound good but have no truth to them. I get on this a lot. I cannot stand motivational speaking. I believe encouragement is good, but encouragement comes through God and His Spirit. I always tell them motivational speaking is just like this. You saying, well, I just want for one time in my life to levitate above the ground. Well, I can tell you how. Stand up, grab your feet, and pick them up. you will levitate above the ground until your butt hits it. You can pick yourself up, but you cannot hold yourself up. And you say, well, you can be anything you want to be. Oh, yes, that is such a half-truth, but not true. You can be anything you want to be, but that doesn't mean you're going to be happy being it. Anybody else say amen to that? Ever had the wrong career? Ever dated the wrong person? Ever bought the wrong car? You can have or be anything you want to be. Doesn't mean you're going to be happy. You know what you need to be? What God created you to be. You want the joy of the Lord and the truth in your life? But we say these things and they sound so good. But pick yourself up and you're guaranteed to fall. Those that exalt themselves will be humbled. You say, well, what are you trying to get at? I'm trying to get at this. Church, we have got to get past this mindset that the world is trying to help us. We have got to get past the mindset that the government is trying to help us. Now, I'm not trying to get political, but man, people get bent out of shape over elections. I mean, you know what? The only election that really, truly, now should you vote? Absolutely. Absolutely. That's your God-given right. But I'm going to say this to you. Most people will vote for a president before they'll vote for which God they're going to serve. And they wonder why a Democrat or a Republican lets them down constantly. They're constantly thrown into jail. They're constantly messed up. And we vote them into office hoping that they fix our nation. And the Bible doesn't say that the president or the king or the Congress or the House or our Senate or our judicial system is what's going to save our land. It says if God's people would humble themselves and seek God's face, they're the ones that God would use if they would turn from their ways and they would do what God wanted them to do. Guess what's going to happen? Healing. Best thing you can do for the person you voted for is live for the Lord. And let God's truth be what's in your life. It has to be proclaimed. It says, hey, whether the time is favorable or not, and here's the word that a lot of times we leave out. We love the word rebuke. We love the word correct. We love the word encourage. But we do not love the fact that God tells us to be patient while we're doing it. He says, be ready to be preaching, be ready at any time, but you got to be patient and you got to be willing to rebuke when necessary, to correct when necessary, hey, encourage people and with what? Good teaching. Write it down. Good teaching is not what sounds good and it's not what feels good. It is what actually is good and that is God's word. And we need to be people that say, I want to be a teacher, a student of God's word. And then lastly, and we'll be out, what do we need to do with God's word? We need to live it. It needs to be studied, it needs to be preached, but it needs to be lived. It's one thing for me to stand up here and tell you what to do. It's another thing for me to go home and do it. And I'm going to tell you this. If what I preach to you is not good enough for me to live, then what good was it for me to preach it to you? It has got to be put into our lives. And so look at these verses in John chapter 17, verse number 17. It says, there's a prayer going on here. Make them holy by what? Your truth. Teach them your what? Word, which is true. If we're going to live it, it has to come through God's truth and not our own. It has to come through God's word. What I believe about myself and what I believe about you, what I believe about this world has to be influenced by the Holy Spirit and God's word, or else I will be flawed in what I see in you. And you will be flawed in what you see in me. You know, I have found that more people are willing to go proclaim what somebody got wrong than they are willing to go proclaim what somebody got right. Am I right? You make one mistake and somebody's going to tell everybody about it. Yeah, you mess up one thing and somebody's going to talk to somebody about it. You get it right and they'll not talk about it ever. But you make one mistake, it'll be headlines. Am I right? Are you with me? Why aren't we more willing to talk about what God gets right than what God has said is wrong? I mean, listen, I'm going to tell you this now. If somebody gets truly the lordship of Jesus Christ rule in their life, they're going to find out what's wrong. They don't have to be beat down with what's wrong. They do have to be alerted to what is wrong. But shouldn't we more teach people what is right? You know what the best teacher is? Example. Yes, sir. This is how you do it. Now, I know it's not a Christian song, but we used to sing that when we were getting ready to play a basket game. This is how we do it. You know? That's the only part of the song apparently we knew, because we would come out of the locker room singing it, doing warm-ups, singing it. This is how we do it. Then go lose by 30. You know? This is how we do it. We brick the layups. We throw it up. We just mess it up. This is how we do it. But you know what Jesus did? He says, this is how God does it. This is what God wants to do in your life. The world used to view God as some distant police officer of the universe, zapping people left and right. But Jesus came to say, he is a father. He's a loving God. He is a forgiving God. And today, we can live it because he lived it. We can do it because he did it. In Luke chapter number 4, when tempted by the devil, Jesus said, man can't live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Church, if we're going to live powerful lives, if we're going to see God clearly, then my prayer for you, and I hope your prayer for me this year, is that we develop an undying desire and passion to know his word, to proclaim his word, and to live his word out. You know, I was studying, and I'll close with this. And as I was reading about the Samaritan well, there was a verse that stood out, which is just a few chapters over from this one, by the way. The Samaritan standing at the well, and the Bible says this was Jacob's well that he gave to Joseph. And I remembered when I was reading in Genesis about why Jacob dug that well and where that well came from. And I thought, it is no accident that in the chaos of what was Jacob's life, he dug this well, created this well that centuries later would be one of the most powerful evangelistic moments we see exemplified in Jesus' life. That through all the struggle, he created something of life-giving, literal physical life-giving capabilities. Water is such a valuable tool. That Jesus would go to a well where a Samaritan woman was standing, Jacob's well, and make the proclamation. What you have in your life trying to fill your life will never make you happy. He said, take the water, I'll give you. She goes, you ain't got no bucket. You ain't got no rope. You can't give me water. And he's like, no, that's not what I'm saying. Right now, you've been married to 5 different people, and the person you're living with, you're not even married to. Are you a prophet? No, I'm not a prophet. I'm coming to give you something that'll quench that thirst, that'll bring you value so that you stop letting men use you. So that you stop lowering yourself and belittling yourself to no worth, to where you're throwing yourself at everything and everybody. To where you don't see your purpose, to where in this town, in that day and age, she no doubt had a terrible reputation by the people around her. You think it's bad now? They didn't need Twitter. Somebody get caught in adultery, drug out, stoned, killed. Here's this lady that no doubt, here she comes, there she is, scarlet letter, that is this lady. She looks at him and she says, why do you and all the Jews think that Jerusalem is the place of which God can be worshipped when we believe it's right here on this mountain? And he looked at her and he said, there's things about God, sweetie, you don't even know. There's things that y'all do not understand. The reason they're saying that it's from Jerusalem is because it's from the Jews that God is going to send the answer. And the answer is standing right here. And the answer is looking you eye to eye. The answer is breathing hope into your life and telling you that you do not have to live the way you're living or stay the way you're staying. And I am willing, listen, I am willing to be such an example that I am not going to go the route that Jews take to avoid you. But instead, I'm going to come stand right here beside you and tell you there is hope for your life. And this lady takes off and runs back to the city and says, come and see a man who told me everything. And then made the statement, could he truly be the Messiah? And the whole town came running out to him. Do you hear the power of that? What would happen if the children of God would go to the places that God's people refuse to go? You know, can I tell you this? Even going to the homeless has become a fad. I mean, going to the homeless and giving them a coat is not love. Follow me. It is an act of kindness, but it isn't love. Kindness can give to anyone. Kindness can do for anybody. But love follows up. Love cares more than just the warmth. It cares about the person that they're warming. It cares about their future. It cares about their existence. You can go on a mission trip and not love those people. You can be kind. Because kindness will go and will give, but love will wake you up in the middle of the night. Love will keep you on your knees. Love will keep you in communication. That's what I love about these social medias that we always tear down. I love to be able to get on and talk to Christina's mom and talk to her family and get pictures of what God's doing in their lives and to be able to reach out to my friends after they've been hit by a typhoon and then on Christmas Day hit by a tornado and say, are you okay? You know what I have found is I asked them because the area we're going to in 2 months just majorly got hit by a typhoon, which is a hurricane. And then on Christmas did get a tornado. And I sent a message to all the pastors and preachers that we are associated with and said, how can I get support to you? And you know what they said? Oh, we're good. We'll have it rebuilt in a week. I was like, man, in America, we wouldn't be done crying with it for a month. We'll have it rebuilt in a week. It'll be finished. That's what the missionary stationed over there. These people are resilient. They'll bounce back. In other words, they don't need your American support. America's not the answer for the world. And yet somehow we believe we are. That if everybody would adapt to our ways or take on our democracy, that all their problems would be fixed. That would be so believable if we didn't have problems in America. We're telling everybody else, become like us. Well, the reality is we are made in a lot of countries worse off than they are. We have a less value on community than they do. I mean, we go to a foreign country and man, there's eye contact, there's jokes, there's life, there's hugs. In my office right now, you can go to where there's a basket of rocks, to where kids would just tell a sign, I love you. And I know they did this for everybody on the team. I love you. Yeah, Pastor Josh, don't forget us, Pastor Josh. Writing scripture verses on it. They had nothing to give, so they'd pick up a rock and write something on it and present it. And they wanted to make sure they gave something back. I gave one kid a cough drop, and he took the necklace off of him and gave it to me. And it's just like, we don't have that here. You know what I found in America? I'll give to people and then they'll go complain that it wasn't enough. I'll do for people. You say, are you tearing down America? No, I'm just simply saying this. The American dream is a nightmare. The reality is that the only hope that the world has is to buy in to the dream of the kingdom, to the vision of the kingdom, to the community of the kingdom of God. To the truth that it's God's will that none would perish, but that all would have everlasting life. And instead of trying to make people like us, we try to make ourselves like Him so that they can see an example of what it is like to live under the authority and power of God instead of living under the oppression of this world. In other words, the more we see God clearly, the less depressed we become. The more we see God clearly, the less anxious we are. The more clearly we see God, the less dependent on this world we are. And I am praying that you and I have 20/20 vision to where we see the heartbeat of God so clearly that we apply it to our lives, we proclaim it, and so that others can see His heartbeat through us. And the glory of God was seen through who? The Word, the Son. And it is my prayer in my life this year that the glory of God is seen through me. Not for the glory of any other than the name of Jesus Christ, the name of the Father. And so that others can know that they have the power of the Holy Spirit present in their lives too. And so, church, to see Him clearly and to help others see clearer, we must be in love with His Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. May it be said of our lives that in the beginning of 2020, the Word was with us. And that Word was God. And we made that Word known. Heads bowed and eyes closed, we'll say goodbye online. Firmly believe, church, that when we truly become in love with God's Word, then we will be excited about it too. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And if the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. May this be the year that this community is set free. Free, free. From all the world-made bondage. man-made traps, enemy-laid boundaries. May this be the year that the gospel of Christ is so real and so radical that we refuse to stay the same.